أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هل ينظرون إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة أو يأتي أمر ربك؟ كذلك فعل الذين من قبلهم، وما ظلمهم الله ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of those who have developed taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us the description that they had given to the Qur'an. If they asked about the Qur'an, قَالُوا خَيْرًا, they said that's the best thing ever. The Qur'an is the best thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the good that they are going to enjoy in this dunya, and also Allah says that what awaits them in the akhirah is far better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the moment when the malaika will draw out their souls from their bodies. And Allah says that death will come to them in a good state, in a pure state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the greeting of the malaika at the time of death, the way they shall be greeted, the muttaqeen, and ultimately their entry into paradise. In ayah number 33 of Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks once again of the mushrikeen, the rejectors, the disbelievers, and those who had refused to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Messenger of Allah. Allah says, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. What else are they waiting for? They have been given evidences, they have been given proofs, they have been given the Qur'an, they have been shown everything, everything, miracles that were performed at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says they are waiting for nothing more except that the angels come to them. That is what they want. And time and again, they made this absurd objection that why is it that Allah is not sending angels? Why does Allah not send malaika? Why does the angels not accompany this man who claims to be a prophet of Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are waiting for nothing else except that angels must now come down to them and tell them that this is the true religion, or this is the Messenger of Allah. And this is, of course, an absurd objection, an absurd, unfair request that they had made on their part. Allah says that either they are waiting for that, or أَيَّأْتِي أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ, or they are waiting for the command of Allah to come, that is in the form of punishment, in the form of qiyamah. That is what they are waiting for. There's nothing else that we can now present to them in order to persuade them to embrace Islam and to accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَذَلِكَ فَعَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Consoling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tells him that that is the act, and that is how similarly was the act of those who came before them. We look at the previous nations, all of them, this was the attitude. And these were the objections that they would make. And these were the requests that they would present. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. When eventually Allah did punish them and destroy them, Allah says, never did Allah oppress them. Never did Allah wrong them. When the punishment of Allah came, never can anyone point a finger at Allah or even question the decree of Allah. Whenever punishment strikes a community or a people, Allah says, مَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Never did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oppress them. We are seeing, witnessing on a daily basis, openly the commandments of Allah are violated, let alone by non-Muslims, by Muslims themselves. Openly, openly. How tolerant is Allah? How tolerant is Allah Azza wa Jal? And then when a person experiences some unfavorable circumstances in his life, then the first thing he does is he points a finger to Allah, why is this happening to me? But what about the violation, constant violation of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, never does Allah wrong a person. Never does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oppress a person. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But it is the people who wrong themselves only. They are the ones who are committing a wrong against their own selves and against their own souls. فَأَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا. And this is something that we need to understand. Allah says the evil of what they had done is what had afflicted them. The evil consequences of what they had done is what had afflicted them in this world. What afflicts you in the world in the form of evil conflicts, we're not talking of tests. We're not talking of tests. Everyone will be tested. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were tested. A test is not an evil consequence of the deeds that you do. But sayyi'at. Sayyi'at are miseries, misfortunes. And the greatest, perhaps, or the first thing that happens when one violates the commandments of Allah is that sukoon, that inner peace and contentment is snatched away from a person's life. So you find a person in the lap, he'll be living in the lap of comfort and luxury, yet there will not be inner peace in his life. That's the first thing that's taken away when a person lives a life wherein he disregards the commandments of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا. The evil consequences of what they had done is what afflicted them in this worldly life. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And the very thing that they had mocked at. What were they mocking at? The punishment of Allah. Every now and again they would mock at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding the punishment of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the very thing that they had mocked at is what encircled them and surrounded them. And that is what had struck them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.